I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. Author and actress Elena Passarello is an Oregon Book Award finalist for her inventive book of essays, Let Me Clear My Throat, which creatively explores the use of the human voice from popular culture screams to singing and professional voice work. She was also the first woman to win the annual Stanley and Stella Shouting Contest in New Orleans, honoring Marlon Brando's classic line in A Streetcar Named Desire. She's now teaching at Oregon State University's School of Writing, Literature, and Film in Corvallis. She joins us in the KLCC studios. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. It's so great to be here.
Featured prominently in this book, screams.
Hey, Stella!
They seem to have unique resonance. They're so primal, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by them because we knew how to scream before we knew how to speak. Around the time of Lucy the hominid, our hyoid bone dropped into the back of our throat and we began to be able to manipulate sounds in the way that could eventually become speech. But for many, many years before that, thousands, millions of years before that, we could scream. So now, on these rare occasions in contemporary life when we hear or use screams, that awakens a part of us that is much older than speech. So I'm kind of obsessed with screams.
And in the case of, say, The Who or Led Zeppelin, these screams are revered. But in the case of Howard Dean, they've sabotaged a career. What makes a scream received well or badly?
I think that's one of the reasons that we love rock and roll so much is that we've created a framework where screams are cool and are allowed and where, you know, regular human beings, I don't know if you would call Roger Daltrey a regular human being, but somewhat regular human beings can make these sounds and we can enjoy them and we can sit still and watch and then we can go back to our regular life and not use screams so much. So it's unusual when somebody outside of that framework makes a scream. So Howard Dean makes this scream in a non-okay arena and everyone freaks out, right? And the thing that really interests me about the Howard Dean scream, which, by the way, we are nearing the 10th anniversary of, January 19th will be the 10th anniversary of this legendary political scream. When he made this scream that many people say tanked his political hopes, in that very same arena, there were rock screams happening left and right. It's very unusual to enter a presidential rally or town hall meeting or forum and not hear a rock scream from Bruce Springsteen, from Roger Daltrey, from Robert Plant, from James Brown. So I find the Dean scream so fascinating because we see both frameworks present in the exact same place. We have a guy who shouldn't be screaming, and then we have all these other people who we need to scream in order to make us feel this great feeling.
We go to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan, and then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!
The sound itself is just spectacular. It's so beautiful, and the wind-up is this great pro wrestler thing, and the microphone is just perfect to capture the sound. It didn't sound anything like it sounded in the room, and it's just, I love it.
And it's up there, perhaps, then, in the long term, we'll see, with the Wilhelm scream in the movies.
Yes.
People may not know what that is, but they've heard it.
Yeah, the Wilhelm scream is a sound clip that was originally recorded in about 1951, the same year as Brando's Stella. And something about it, it's just this ridiculous sound. And the best thing about it is that nobody knows who made this sound. So this mysterious voice making this ridiculous sound has been woven throughout the past 60 years of American film culture. How cool is that?
I want to get back to Brando for a moment here. When you were in the Stanley and Stella shouting contest in New Orleans, what were you trying to capture of Brando's version of Stella that made your own performance powerful enough to win?
I went down there. I heard that a woman had never won, so I went down there thinking that I would lose, sort of like a George Plimpton kind of a thing. But it felt really good to do. If you've never been able to let out a Stella, I say if you're in your car right now, do it in your car. Just to open up your whole body and make that sound is a pretty good feeling. Not great to listen to, but it's a good feeling.
Well, your book deals in much more than screams and throat clearing. It goes into singing and professional voice work and so on. How did you define the boundaries of what you included in that book? It comes at it from so many angles.
I knew that I wanted to divide the book into three sections. The first one's on screams. So that's where you get your Brando, your Howard Dean, your Rebel Yell, your Wilhelm scream. And then I wanted to talk about singing. So that was the second section. And then I wanted a third section on mysteries or fake voices or kind of outlying voices. Things like ventriloquists or Siri, automated voices, things like that.
Is there anything in the end that you'd like readers to come away with knowing or feeling about the human voice?
What I would love to do, and what I really wanted the book to do, was just to throw out into the world these celebrations of these voices that I think inspire thought and response and conversation.
Author and actress Elena Passarello, Oregon Book Award finalist for Let Me Clear My Throat, her debut book of essays regarding the human voice, and she's the winner of the 2011 Stanley and Stella Shouting Contest in New Orleans. She teaches in Oregon State University's School of Writing, Literature, and Film. For more information, ElenaPassarello.com. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.